We give thanks to God for another day of life. It's great that we can be back together again, peering into the genealogy of Jesus and the remarkable visit made by the angel Gabriel to the earthly mother of Jesus, Mary. And yesterday I invited you to read 31 verses of the Bible. That was Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 56. Were you able to do so? If so, what did you learn? If you did not get to it, do so today, because I've asked you to read these same verses every day between now and Christmas Day, December 25th. I hope that you will. I'm just taking the biblical text as it comes to us, and last time we talked about the angel Gabriel, who makes a visit to Mary. To get us going, let me reread Luke 1, verses 26 through 28. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, Gabriel said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." God sent Gabriel, one of only two angels mentioned by name in Scripture, to Mary. And there's something about Mary in these verses that is noticeable. Luke mentions twice that Mary was a virgin. If you have your Bible open in front of you, you'll see this. If you're driving, just listen. Both times this is mentioned is in verse 27. To a virgin. And again in verse 27, the virgin's name was Mary. What is clear is this. Mary is a virgin. And we should ask, what or who is a virgin? Now, I know you're probably thinking, everyone knows what or who a virgin is. But apparently for those who deny the virgin birth of Jesus, and there are plenty of those people around today, who a virgin actually is often eludes them when I hear these skeptics talk. So let me clarify this here. A virgin woman is a woman who has never had sexual intercourse with a man. A virgin is not a woman who has had sexual intercourse with a man, but cannot conceive of a child. Do you understand the distinction? When Luke, who was a medical doctor, by the way, says here twice that young Mary was a virgin, he means that she's never had sex with a man, any man. Sometimes those who reject the virgin birth of Christ will try to say that Mary had sex previously, and it was just that she did not conceive of a child from that intercourse until Jesus. But that's not true. Luke could not be clearer. Mary was a virgin when the Holy Spirit in her womb miraculously conceived Jesus. And Matthew also affirms that Mary was a virgin. Listen to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, where Matthew quotes Isaiah's prophecy. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. And you can, of course, turn in your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 and read exactly that. I believe this prophecy of Isaiah's was fulfilled completely at the time we're reading about in Matthew 1 and Luke 1. Mary is the virgin that the prophecy of Isaiah foretells, and Jesus is the son that she will bear, and he is Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. For Matthew and for Luke, Mary was a virgin. There is no doubt about that. Now, when you meet someone who has the audacity to suggest that Jesus was not born of a virgin, challenge him or her with these verses from Isaiah, Matthew, and Luke. We're going to come to why it is crucial that Jesus is virgin born. But first, I need to establish that indeed Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a virgin. She has never, ever had sexual intercourse before the angel Gabriel meets with her. Never. And let's not let the skeptics inform us otherwise. Now, what is the immediate implication of this for our consideration? Given that Mary was a virgin, she did not have the seed of a man in her when she became pregnant. No man made Mary pregnant. No man got Mary pregnant. No man impregnated her. No man was responsible in any way with the child that she will carry in her womb. God himself is responsible, as we shall see. And God is responsible because Jesus is God's son. Tucked into the New Testament epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the churches in Galatia, there's a significant statement. I want you to know it. I'm turning now in my Bible to Galatians chapter 4. In the New Testament, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then we come to Acts, Romans, and through 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then to Galatians. And when we get there, let's pass chapters 1, 2, and 3, and come right into chapter 4, and this is easy to remember, verse 4. I'm reading now Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. I invite you to highlight this. God sent forth his Son. Jesus is God's Son. He was born of a woman, and that woman is Mary. But even so, Jesus remains the Son of God. We must establish this as we talk about Mary. No human, no man is Jesus' father, in the sense of giving his sperm to Mary so that she became pregnant. Mary's a virgin. She has never had sex. Her pregnancy is the result of the Holy Spirit, who is God. In his divine wisdom and by his supernatural power, the Holy Spirit conceives in Mary Jesus. And this definitely confounds the person who does not have faith in Jesus Christ. If you or someone you know is seeking a purely scientific reason for why Mary is pregnant, you're going to be sorely disappointed about why the Bible says she is. Scientists maintain that a virgin birth is impossible. They say it cannot happen. Fair enough. I think we all understand the science of pregnancy. But the Bible here, as in every instance when God provides a miracle, contradicts the scientists. And I have no problem admitting that it takes faith to believe that Jesus was virgin born. I believe this to be a well-reasoned faith. But nevertheless, I believe Mary was a virgin because the Bible tells me she was, and because I trust the Word of God wholeheartedly. Therefore, I also believe that Jesus is God's Son. Here on God Is, the Bible is the source for telling us who God is, and in this case, it is no different. Since the Bible says Mary is a virgin, then Mary is a virgin. It is my conviction that every one of us, Christian people, must accept by faith the virginity of Mary. To be a Christian is to accept this. And if you refuse to accept that Mary was indeed a virgin, then what you have done is to call into question the credibility of the Word of God. Imagine that. You're calling God a liar. You are saying that God, in His Word, is telling us something about Mary that is not true. And that means you are calling into question the very one who can never be adequately questioned. Matthew and Luke have to be accurate in their writing, because if they are not, then this, right here, the virginity of Mary would throw into suspicion the remainder of all of their writing. Well, I, for one, and I know many of you will agree with me on this, take it by faith as a fact that Mary was a virgin until the birth of Christ. Now, I will say this, she was not a virgin for the rest of her life. Mary did go on to have other children after Jesus. Jesus is an older half-blood brother. The Bible teaches this. But listen to me carefully here. Mary had sexual intercourse with Joseph for the first time after Jesus was born. This, I believe. So while I do not agree with the Roman Catholic Church that Mary was a perpetual virgin, I do agree with them that she was a virgin at the time Matthew and Luke says she was, at the time God says she was. And yes, I will spend time showing you in the Bible why the Roman Catholic Church is wrong about the perpetual virginity of Mary. Please stick with me in the days ahead, and we will look at this together. But for now, let me circle back to my question. What is the immediate implication for us of Mary being a virgin? I first answered this by talking about God being responsible for the pregnancy of Mary, not a man. And there is one more massive implication that I want to get on your mind today and then open up tomorrow's broadcast talking more about. It's this. Because no man was involved in getting Mary pregnant, this serves as another proof for the pre-existent nature of Jesus Christ. Jesus does not appear for the first time in history as a baby born in Bethlehem. No, Jesus has existed before this. Jesus has been forever. Jesus is pre-existent. I want you to understand this. Now, those of you who have been with me for some time know we have covered the pre-existent nature of Jesus Christ before in detail. So I do not want to go over that again in anywhere near as much detail now and tomorrow. So let me just point you to some references in the Bible. If you go back and read Genesis 1:1, the text says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's direct enough. Who created the heavens and the earth long before humans were created? God did. But then if you'll swing over to the New Testament in your Bible and read John chapter 1 and verse 3, John is describing Jesus and he writes, this is John 1 verse 3, "All things came into being through Jesus. And apart from Jesus, nothing came into being that has come into being." Ah, now we know more. Jesus is God, and it is the person of Jesus in the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit who did the creating. And here is how this relates to my point today. How could Jesus have created the heavens and the earth and all things that came into being if Jesus only existed when the Holy Spirit conceived of him in Mary? He couldn't. So the proper way to look at this, then, is that Jesus Christ has always existed. He is eternal. And when he grows as a baby in Mary's womb and then is born, this is only the physical, the human manifestation of his presence. Jesus has always been. It's only now that he enters the world as a person. He leaves his home in heaven and comes into Mary's home in Israel. And when you come back tomorrow, I'll pick up here and I'll remind you of this, and then we'll continue to learn more about who God is.